Dearly beloved.
Já ouviu?
Last announcement of the night. I'm officially announcing. I'm back. You are a fucking nobody, Roman. You're a moron.
Cut the horseshit. Know your role.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, the first fucking thing my son's ever done right in his life.
Is it whiskey time?
Shut the fuck up. Please. Here's to us.
My lawyer used to work for the Justice Department. Who's your lawyer? Mr. fucking Magoo?
If your hands are clean, it's only because your whorehouse also does manicures. Happy Christmas, you clock-watching fucks.
Romulus, when you laugh, please do it at the same volume as everyone else. We didn't get you from a hyena farm.
Thanks, Bob.
I love you. But you are not serious people.
That's about as choreographed as a dog getting fucked on roller skates.
Yeah, have you heard of dick pics, Dad?
Well, we do publish a number of popular newspapers, so yes, son. We probably invented the fucking words. I think this is it.
Logan, have you thought about the possibility that your children are actually scared of you?
Oh, fuck off. Why don't you pipe down until you come and tell me I've got a grandson coming? Hmm? Or are you shooting blanks?
Play it smart today, you won't look a cunt tomorrow.
Would you like to hear my favorite passage from Shakespeare?
Take the fucking money.
It's war! Fuck off!
Já ouviu?
Hey, Fabiano, how are you?
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, I'm talking from São Paulo, Brazil. So,
all right. Love it.
Yeah. I watched your film last night and I love it so much. It was a huge surprise for me. I wasn't expecting anything like that. And congratulations. It ends very well. It starts well and ends in a more surprise than what I expected.
And thank you.
Talk to me about the references and the first ideas before shooting and starting writing the script and everything.
I'd finished the script, another script, and it took me a while to do it. And I was sitting around thinking about what was next and what was next. And I kind of got this idea about this young woman who lived in Palm Desert in the 1980s and how she was going to be like a waitress, and she was dealing with all these sort of advertising people who like didn't seem to work at all. All they'd do is come and have lunch and just drink a lot of booze and not do anything. And she was like, and she's working her ass off as this waitress, and she was thinking, how are they living like this and I'm living like this? Like, how is this possible? You know, like, what are they doing? And so I started mapping out this story about how this waitress in Palm Desert in California ends up infiltrating this group and becomes like extremely successful at it, and realizes that it's just a whole bunch of, you know, wheeling and dealing. That idea might still work at some point, but that was the beginning of it. Like, that was the start of this project, and then it kind of just moved along and moved along and finally ended up where it is. But I think probably I'd always had an idea about this notion of a character who is unhappy in their life. And so they want to take over someone else's life, you know, and when they do, they realize that it's worse than their own, you know. Right. And so I guess that's inherent in the idea of coveting what you don't have, you know.
And instead of making a cool drama about it, you went full throttle and...
I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I feel like with screenwriting, for me, I think that it's such an interesting process, because often the way I write, at least, is that I'll start a project and I'll start with the idea, and then the script starts to kind of tell me the tone, you know, what it needs to be. And with this one, it was clear that it needed to have an element of black humor you know, at its, and it's, you know, it's beating heart. It's got black humor as its beating heart, you know. Yeah, and then also, you know, I think Patricia Highsmith was a big influence on it. And also Alfred Hitchcock, particularly Rope, that movie is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Hitchcock, just the vibe of it and the way it's done. And also the sort of the black humor in that. I mean, it's a very dark movie, but it's also very suspenseful and also enjoyable, you know, for me to watch anyway. So, yeah.
I thought about Rope when I was watching your film. And
oh, yeah?
It has the same vibe as the what I should hide and what I can't let this guy know what's happening, and even if he's participating of everything, it's a brilliant idea.
I think what I like about that movie, besides the way that it's filmed and the vibe of it and the performances and just the general, you know, sort of vibration that it's operating on. But what I think is so great about that movie is that Jimmy Stewart is the force of antagonism and also our protagonist on some level. So you sort of, because we're implicit in the crime, we're seeing the crime at the front, where even though these guys are, you know, murderers, but we have all the information and Jimmy Stewart doesn't have any information. And just because of that dynamic where we kind of end up siding with them on some level, but morally, we're with him. So it's just this really interesting, you know, paradigm or whatever, like clash, that's got a narrative clash that's happening that I find. And I think that probably I tried to do something similar here, you know.
And there's something I liked very much. It's when the police officer, he kept asking about hotels and how do they make money? Why, if they lose money, why they keep doing that? And everything has the answers on the tip of their tongues. And he starts to believe in everything. And he doubt about the chef answering, but then he starts to believe in everything they're talking to him. And this is also very good because you see that when he starts to relax and believing in everyone, he starts to enjoy more the food that he's eating. Mm. And this is really good.
That's right. Yeah. That's a really good point. He comes into the movie and he's a clever guy, you know, and he's asking Ryan about his job, and Ryan clearly has no idea what he's talking about, and he's shitting his way through it. And so he's suspicious of him, but you know, again, spoiler territory here, but the guests are fully briefed on how to answer the questions. They've done their homework. And so he starts asking his, you know, just might seem like dinner conversation, but it's still a police investigation, right? He's asking questions like, how does it work? And it's all, and they have the answers for him. And so I believe, because, you know, we also establish he hasn't eaten all day, right? He's just been working all day. And he's like, oh, these people are legitimate. There's probably no leads here. There's no reason to be suspicious here, despite this weird chef who doesn't really know what he's doing. And then, like you say, and then so he's in a state to enjoy the food, which is the macabre humor of it, I guess.
And what appears to me about the situation is that even if he was a police officer, he wanted to be an architect. So he has this artistic side of his, and maybe staying for to dine with all this fancy people, he could feel what would be if he would choose to be an architect or something like that.
That's so interesting, because that's the theme of the movie, right? It's like, if only my life were different, it would be like this. I mean, Ryan's doing it, Jack's doing it, and so that's such an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. Is that he makes that point that you know, I wish to do something else, but I ended up here, and so that's a really interesting point. Yeah.
Maybe now I belong to something I could be and I'm not, and it's funny because I love when people like the police officer in the film, he says, oh, I should have been an architect or something like that. When people realize that somebody's more successful than him in some other career, and somebody said, oh, I wish I were a chef or a singer or something, even if they don't have any particular how do I say that in English? Well, if they can't be, they can't sing, but they
skill.
It's funny, and the film is all about that. It's about as you said, it's somebody trying to be somebody else or trying to be in somebody else's doing somebody else's skills or dreams or lives, and realizing they're not as fun as they thought it would be.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think that probably a part of that is increased recently with social media, you know, and how we're all living on our phones and we're all looking at other people's lives, you know, endlessly. And it's a very curated view of people's lives. You know, we put our best foot forward when we present our digital self, and we all do it. And then we all believe it when we see other people. You know, it's just the funny thing. We're all like, yeah, this is me at my best self. Knowing that it's not the complete picture, but when we read other people's, we're like, "Well, look at them," you know. So it's just an interesting. It's kind of the world we're in now, I think, on some level.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna tell a story about myself. I'm sorry about that, but
go ahead.
I'm gonna explain what I'm trying to tell you. I do TikTok videos. I do reviews on TikTok. Every day I post a review on films on TikTok. And most of my reviews, they have like, 20, 30,000 views. And some of them reach like 500,000, 600,000. And once in a while, I receive people writing, commenting like, oh, I should do reviews myself because you have 600,000 comments on your review, on your 60-second reviews, because my reviews are 60 seconds or less. And then I always remember a Dire Straits song that Money for Nothing, that is about a guy on the shop watching MTV for the first time, and he says, oh, they get money for nothing, just go there and sing and play some music. And I always think about that. And your film reminded me of that song also. It's like the guy on the shop making things look good on the TV store and say, oh, I should learn to play the guitar and get money for nothing. And
yeah, for sure. You're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, right?
Yeah,
all the stuff, all the work that was underneath it. And I think that's you're right. It's a sort of superficial reading of a real situation, and that in fact, people that produce things and do things that appear effortless and therefore look easy, that requires the most work and experience and skill. You know, that's the irony, is that when people do things like that, I think it's interesting. It's interesting.
And, you know, at the beginning of the film, when I saw that Nick Stahl's character was landing in Colombia, I said, why Colombia? Why not Brazil? And then after a while, I said, oh, thank you for not...
Yeah, you know, so I actually been to Brazil. I went to Brazil after I finished art school. I got high school straight to art school, and I just studied and worked. And I was like, you know what? I want to do something that's really so different to this. And so I had some money, and I ended up going to Rio and Belo Horizonte.
Wow.
And I hung out for a while. I had the best time. Love Brazil. Love Brazilians. It was the best, you know. And then I ended up going back to Thailand and then back to Australia, where I'm from. And I always remembered South America, you know, and I always remembered the spirit of South America. And so when I started thinking about setting this movie, I was thinking about South Latin America, not really South America, but just Latin America. But one place I didn't think of was Brazil, because of my experience there, because my experience was so, I don't know, it was so social and it was so energetic. And the vibe of this movie is a lot more remote, you know, in terms of the way. It absolutely could have been shot in Brazil. Maybe if there was a significant tax rebate, we might have done it. But yeah, so it's actually set, you know, so it's actually set in an unnamed Latin American location, because I like the idea of it being, so it's not like, okay, this is happening in Colombia, you know, it's like this is happening somewhere in the Americas, you know.
I thought somebody said Colombia.
Well, we shot it in Colombia, but it's not, it's never stated in the film. It's okay. never like, because I didn't really want to make it about Colombia, like this is what happened.
But yeah, yeah, more about, of course.
It's more about you know, sort
experience.
Of, yeah, and this sort of region where there is like a lot of wealth and a lot of poverty and people coming in to exploit that, you know. But Colombia is amazing. I mean, it's a beautiful country, you know, like it's incredible. Yeah.
And Nick Stahl, talk to me about how was it working with him?
Nick is a really intelligent and subtle actor, you know, and he kind of locks in to a vibration that he generates himself, and he just stays in it, and it's very authentic and consistent. And I found it. I'm not sure what his process is like, but you know, like we never talked about that. He's not very verbal in that way. He just wants to, you know, our work together was mainly, you know, he would try something and I would say, you know, maybe not that way. Or I'd say, yes, that way. I like what you're doing there. But essentially, you know, he just was doing his thing. He had an idea about the character, and he played it, you know, and he played it really in a grounded way, which I feel like was the right choice. Because what it meant was that I was able then to make everything around it a little bit more heightened. So as things get crazier in the movie, because he's so grounded in his performance and he's taking it all very seriously, I think it lends an element of credulity. You know, it's like you feel like it's really happening. And he's just a good actor, man. He's a good dude. I really enjoy working with
him. Yeah, and it shows on screen. He does a great job as the chef and as both chefs. And
I feel like this movie is like a noir film, you know, like because a noir movie traditionally is about a morally compromised protagonist who fails because of their own, you know, their own moral failings is why they don't. And so that's traditional noir, and I feel like this movie is in that you know, tradition. And I think that Nick is a great noir actor, you know, and I think if you look at the work that he's done before, he likes that kind of stuff and he's drawn to it. And he's really well suited to it, you know. So, I mean, you know, people think noir was a time in the sort of 40s and 50s, and you know, obviously that's when it began and everything.
It
continues on until today. And so I believe that he's a terrific noir actor.
And the ending is very noirish.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I think without spoiling the ending, I mean, so basically, I wrote this film during the Trump presidency, you know, the tail end of the Trump presidency, or in the middle of it, actually. And I was just, you know, I live in America. I'm Australian, but I live in America. I've been here for a while. And I'm just looking at the media, I'm looking at the news, I'm looking at what's happening with the powerful and the whole deal. And particularly like climate change, just how that's getting out of control. And I was just, you know, so when it came to the ending, I was like, well, we don't need a fairy tale. You know? Yeah. We don't need someone saying it's all going to be all right, because right
Thank
now
you for the world, that.
It's like, yeah, I think we need to be like, yo, this is happening. You know, this is the world that's operating. We need to do something. We need to resist.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. That's all I was planning on asking you. And
of course,
thanks for the great film and congrats for the great film.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
And hope it has a great career. And I'm looking forward for your next one.
Okay. Well, it was great talking to you.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you.
Bye-bye.
Dearly beloved, já ouviu?
Last announcement of the night. I'm officially announcing I'm back.
You are a fucking nobody, Roman. You're a moron.
Cut the horseshit. Know your role. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, the first fucking thing my son's ever done right in his life.
Is it whiskey time?
Shut the fuck up.
Please.
Here's to us. My lawyer used to work for the Justice Department. Who's your lawyer? Mr. fucking Magoo? If your hands are clean, it's only because your whorehouse also does manicures.
Happy Christmas, you clock-watching fucks.
Romulus, when you laugh, please do it at the same volume as everyone else. We didn't get you from a hyena farm.
Thanks, Bob.
I love you. But you are not serious people.
That's about as choreographed as a dog getting fucked on roller skates.
Yeah, have you heard of dick pics, Dad?
Well, we do publish a number of popular newspapers, so yes, son. We probably invented the fucking words.
I think this is it.
Logan, have you thought about the possibility that your children are actually scared of you?
Oh, fuck off. Why don't you pipe down till you come and tell me I've got a grandson coming? Hmm? Or are you shooting blanks?
Play it smart today, you won't look a cunt tomorrow. Would you like to hear my favorite passage from Shakespeare? Take the fucking money.
It's war! Fuck off!
Já ouviu?